Good morning. Would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17? Verse 15 of 1 Samuel chapter 17.
But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the word Bethlehem means the house of bread. Let's pray together. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name. And Lord, we ask that our great shepherd might feed us. We ask for nothing else but that we might be fed by your grace. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake and be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I look back in chapter 16 for just a moment. In verse 18, we have this beautiful description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then answered one of the servants and said, "Behold, I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite." This is talking about David. "That is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters or words and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Now that is used to describe David, and it's used to describe the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what else David was besides all these things? He was a shepherd. As a matter of fact, that's what he was first. He was a shepherd. Look in chapter 16, verse 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, Well, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep." Look in chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. "And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep." Look in verse 20. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him." He was still taking care of the sheep. Look in verse 28. "And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Look in verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flocks. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." He was protecting the sheep. And even when he's going with Goliath, he wouldn't take human armor. He rejected Saul's armor and he put some stones in his shepherd's bag. David was preeminently a shepherd. Now, the concept of a shepherd is meaningless if we don't talk just a little bit about sheep. Sheep. What do you think of when you think of sheep? Well, there are three descriptions that I think would be the most accurate of sheep, and I think it's very interesting that the Lord uses sheep to depict us. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are directionless. And sheep are defenseless. Those three words accurately portray what a sheep is. Dumb, directionless, and defenseless. Got that on Google. They're dumb. Dogs are loyal, aren't they? Cats are smart. Horses are strong. Sheep are dumb. They have poor vision. They can't do tricks. They can't be trained to do anything. This happened in 2006. One sheep went off a cliff, and 400 went right behind him, and they all fell to their death. sheep just follow the sheep. They don't have any direction. And they're defenseless. They have no way of defending themselves. You know, dogs will bite or they'll bark. Cats will hiss. Different kinds of animals have different ways of trying to protect themselves, but not a sheep. A sheep is easy prey to anyone. He's dumb. He's directionless. He so easily goes astray. He so easily goes in the wrong direction. It's the nature of a sheep to go astray. And once they get out, they cannot find their way back. I remember when I was a kid, we had this record called The Incredible Journey. And it was about this dog and cat who got hundreds of miles away from their home, and somehow they found their way back home. I mean, animals can do that, but sheep can't. Once they go astray, they are in trouble. They're dumb, they're directionless, and they're defenseless. Does that sound like anybody you know? Well, I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. You know, when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he knew something about what he was talking about when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is the animal that God uses to depict his people, sheep. It's kind of funny, isn't it? And you know it's so. Now, all the world is divided into two classes: sheep and goats. Turn with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31, when the Son of Man, and I love the majesty of this language, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. All the world is divided into sheep and goats. A sheep will never become a goat, and a goat will never become a sheep. Turn with me to John chapter 10 for just a moment. You see, not everybody is a sheep. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you." Now, how clear can language be? He said, the reason you don't believe is because you're not one of my sheep. Now, let's look at a few things in John chapter 10. Verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, the place where the sheep stay at night, but climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Now here's one thing sheep can do. They can hear. They hear the voice of the shepherd, and they can distinguish the difference. Let's go on reading. Verse 4. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." They hear the gospel, and they know when they're not hearing the gospel, and they flee. Look in verse 26 again of this same chapter. "But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I and my Father are one. Now, isn't that a beautiful description of what a sheep is? And I love the way the Lord uses a sheep to describe His people. Dumb, directionless, defenseless, can't protect themselves, in need of a shepherd. Now, let me assure you, if you're a sheep, if I'm a sheep, we need a shepherd. You know, some people try to pastor themselves. You never make a very good pastor yourself, I can assure you that. I say that to all people. Sheep need a shepherd. And Christ is called in the Scriptures the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. He's called by Peter the chief shepherd. And He's called by the writer to the Hebrews that great shepherd of the sheep. Now, the first thing I would notice about David, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, is David's care of the sheep. This was what was most important to him. I think it's interesting, while his six brothers were lining up to be anointed king, David was keeping the sheep. That was his great concern. That's what was important to him. Those other fellows, they wanted to be God's anointed. They thought, surely it'll be me. David didn't even suspect it was him. But he stayed back with his father's sheep. David was keeping the sheep, and when he left Saul, he went back to the sheep. When his father sent him to his brothers, he made sure there was a keeper of the sheep. He would not leave those sheep alone. He was ridiculed and criticized by his eldest brother because he was a keeper of just a few sheep. Insignificant to Eliab, but very important to David. I think one of the most amazing parts of this passage of Scripture is there in verse 34. Now, you think of David being a shepherd. If I was a shepherd and a lion got hold of one of the sheep, I don't think I would try to face that lion. And if a bear came, I wouldn't face the bear. I mean, the one sheep can be sacrificed. But look at David's love and care for the sheep. Verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. What a shepherd. What a shepherd who could protect sheep like this. Now, David exercised great care of the sheep, which speaks of our great shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Don't you love our Lord Jesus Christ? He laid down, not only does He care for the sheep, He laid down His life for the sheep. The Lord says of the hireling that He leaves the sheep because He doesn't care for them, but oh, how the Lord cares for His sheep. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The great shepherd. Now, I want you to think about that statement. I'm this dumb, easily led astray, defenseless, directionless sheep. He cares for me. He careth for you. There's nothing about you that's insignificant to your great shepherd. Now, there are basically four things that a shepherd does. First of all, he leads the flock. He leads. They look to him. He feeds the flock. He protects the flock. And maybe the most endearing thing, I want to say this carefully, but perhaps the most endearing thing about our shepherd is he always goes after the straying sheep. And he goes and gets it and brings it back. He leaves the 99 and goes after that one straying sheep. Now let's consider our shepherd in these four aspects. First of all, he leads the flock. They follow him. Now, how do they follow him? By looking to him. That's the only way you can describe. But how do you follow somebody?
The only way you fall with somebody is by keeping your eyes on them. You know, when we were in Mexico last week or whenever it was, you know, Cody would take the men downtown, and it's third world. You know, it's dirty, it's smelly, it's the meat market, it's. And Cody is very gracious to take everybody. A lot of people experience it when they go down there. And Cody's very gracious to take people down there. But man, you can't keep up with him. If you don't keep your eyes on him, he's gone. And then we're in this place where nobody can speak the language and we're nervous and scared. The only way I can stay up with Cody is if I keep my eyes on him. Walter was even worse. I mean, it was very difficult keeping up with these guys. And the only way you could do it, they didn't like being there. You know, they were gracious. They were great. You know, they go downtown all the time. But and this downtown is not like any downtown me and you know anything about. I mean, it's third world downtown. And you'd be, man, if I was left here, I'd be scared to death, you know. And what do? I keep an eye on Cody. And, I'm thinking about, I hope these other guys do too, but I'm not going to get lost if they do. You know, I'm keeping my eye on Cody. Now, when you look to Christ, the only thing to do is to look to him. You look at his life as your only righteousness before God. You look at his death as your sin payment. You look at his resurrection as your justification. You look at him right now as he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and you know he is your salvation, looking unto Jesus. Don't you love the simplicity of that statement? Looking. You can look. Might not be able to do anything else. You can look. I don't have any doubt if an Israelite was blind, if he would have taken his blind eye socket and looked toward that brazen serpent, he'd live. Didn't say see, says look. And if you look, you'll see. Looking unto Jesus. So the first, what the Lord is, he is our guide. We follow him. He's our Savior. And the next thing a shepherd does is he feeds the sheep. Now, the Lord said, my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He is the bread of life. Now, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now, I know that people have made so much error regarding that. The doctrine of transubstantiation, where you eat the body of Christ and it literally becomes, or you eat the bread and it literally becomes the body of Christ, and when you drink the wine it literally becomes the blood of Christ, and somehow that puts away sin. You all know that's ridiculous. I mean, there's no truth to that. But here's what it is. The only thing that satisfies my hunger, the only thing that makes me full, the only thing that strengthens me, the only thing that is anything to me is Christ crucified. I mean, right now, the only hope that I have is that Christ lived for me, he died for me, and he was raised for me. The only drink that satisfies my thirst is knowing his precious blood. At all times, when I first believed, in the middle of my life as a believer, right before I die, his precious blood is the only hope that I have. That's what it is to eat his flesh and drink his blood. You're living upon him. Who he is and what he did is everything in salvation. And that is the only meal I want. That's my breakfast. That's my lunch. That's my dinner. That's my snack. That's everything. That's everything. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. At no time do I get any satisfaction from any other food but the gospel. But what satisfaction there is in being justified by him, of being accepted in the beloved. We never grow beyond that, do we? That's the same meal that we, you know, I eat, Lynn makes fun of me, I eat a ham and Swiss sandwich every day for lunch. I just love ham and Swiss sandwiches. But, you know, sometimes I do get tired of them, though. Every now and then I'll break the thing, but you're going to get tired of everything but this. The gospel of Christ. What a meal that you're always satisfied with.
And then our shepherd protects us. Isn't it wonderful to be protected by Christ? And I need protected. I need protected. I need saved. I need protected. You know who I need protected from first? Right here. Me. He saves me from myself. How many times in a day do I cry out, Lord, save me. Save me. You know that prayer is not a one-time prayer. It's not a once-a-day prayer. Lord, save me. Save me from myself. Deliver me from myself. Deliver me from my sins. Deliver me from my enemies. Deliver me from all the things that would bring me away from you. Save me. Give me your righteousness. Save me by your sovereign will. Save me by your grace. Save me by your purpose. Save me by your love. We're calling on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what I want. Save me. I need my shepherd to protect me from myself and from my sin. Oh, be my shepherd. Lord, be my shepherd. Don't let me be without a shepherd. I need you to protect me. Oh, isn't it wonderful to think that the Lord's your shepherd? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me rest. He leads me beside the still waters. Peace. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I have righteousness. He restores my soul. Oh, how often has He restored your soul? And what does our shepherd do? He goes after the straying sheep. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18 for a moment. Now, the biggest characteristic of a sheep that we're familiar with is a sheep goes astray. He goes astray so easily, and once he goes astray, there's no getting back. He's not like these cats and dogs that can find their way back home amazingly. Once they're gone astray, there's no coming back, and their only hope is for the shepherd to come after them and to bring them in. Verse 11, Matthew chapter 18. But the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How, thank ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 all goes together. The parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. But let's just see what he says about this lost sheep. Verse 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. I can't express how glorious that is. That with the Lord Jesus Christ, no one ever felt threatened and judged. He's the only one like this. Nobody else is like this. You go around anybody else, they'll judge you. They're as bad as you are, but they'll judge you. I guarantee you I'll judge you. I see you doing something, I think, all the different things that I'll think. And you'll think the same thing. The only one that's like this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners could draw near to Him to hear Him, and they didn't feel threatened. They didn't feel judged. They didn't feel condemned. How glorious He is. And the Pharisees and scribes, verse 2, murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He won't stop until he finds it. And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance." I love to think of joy being in heaven right now, don't you? When one sinner repents, when his mind is changed, there's joy in heaven. Who's in heaven? The Lord Jesus. He goes after the sheep that was straying. Now, turn with me to Psalm 119. Now, this is David. David knows something about being a shepherd. Last verse of Psalm 119. David, who knew something about being a shepherd, says to the Lord, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And I can't get back. I can't find my way back. Here I am. I've gone astray out in the wilderness like a lost sheep." He says, "Seek thy servant. Come look for me and find me. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." Now, what a prayer. May the Lord put that in our hearts. Now, what a shepherd. What a shepherd. He leaves the flock. He feeds the flock with himself. He protects the flock. And he goes after the straying sheep. Thank the Lord for our great shepherd.